إن الله عنده علم الساعة وينزل الغيث ويعلم ما في الأرحام وما تسقط من ورقة إلا يعلمها ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. وقال تعالى: إليه يرد علم الساعة. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable mothers, respected sisters, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions in the opening verse of the 25th juz of the Quran Kareem, إِلَيْهِ يُرَدُّ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. It is Allah and Allah alone who is aware of when Qiyamah will take place. Nobody besides Allah, no angel, no messenger, no prophet, no pious person, no scholar, no person who claims to know the unseen knows when Qiyamah will take place. It is Allah and only Allah who knows when Qiyamah will take place. And as Allah says, إِلَيْهِ يُرَدُّ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ, that only Allah knows when Qiyamah will take place. In another verse, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says it in a different way, but the meaning is exactly the same. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ, that it is only Allah who has knowledge of when Qiyamah will take place. But yes, in the Quran, and more so in the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the different signs of Qiyamah have been made mention of. Once a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what are the signs of Qiyamah? And when he asked, what are the signs of Qiyamah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately responded and said, مَا أَعْتَدَّ لَهَا, what have you done in preparation for Qiyamah? You're very worried about the signs of Qiyamah, but tell me, what preparation have you made for Qiyamah? Because even if you have to die right now, meaning long before any of the major signs of Qiyamah become apparent, but when a person dies, then that person's Qiyamah has started. إِذَا مَاتَ الرَّجُلْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. This is a saying in Arabic, and if my memory serves me correct, it could be a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, that when you die, your qiyamah has started. The meaning is that as per your life, so will be your state in the grave. Either رَوْضَةٌ مِنْ رِيَاضِ الْجِنَانِ أَوْ حُفْرَةٌ مِنْ حُفَرِ النِّيرَانِ. Either it will be a garden from the gardens of paradise, or it will be a pit from the pits of hellfire. And in your grave, you cannot do anything that will benefit you, nor can you do anything that will harm you. As you die, so will you lie in your grave, and so will you be resurrected, and so will be your condition on the day of Qiyamah. So exactly the condition in which you die will be the condition of your resurrection, and will be the condition in which your reckoning will take place. So in that sense, إِذَا مَاتَ الرَّجُلْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ, when you have died, then your Qiyamah has started. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicates to us that yes, we have discussions pertaining to the signs of Qiyamah, but let's not have these discussions pertaining to the signs of Qiyamah purely from a perspective of wanting to know the intricacies of these signs, or purely from a perspective of enlisting and enumerating and having an interesting discussion. No. Have a discussion on the signs of Qiyamah from a perspective of how prepared am I, and to what extent should I evaluate myself, and to what extent do I introspect and analyze my own lifestyle in as far as the signs of Qiyamah are concerned. Now there are many signs of Qiyamah, like when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the famous hadith of Jibreel, this episode is made mention of. And he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a series of questions. He said, Mal Iman, Mal Islam, Mal Ihsan. Three questions he asked. And then the fourth question was, Mata Sa'ah? When will Qiyamah take place? Ya Rasulullah, when will Qiyamah take place? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam and said, Mal Mas'ulu anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'il. The questioner does not have any more knowledge on this particular question than the person that he's questioning, meaning Jibreel, you don't know more than I know about the question as to when is Qiyamah, because only Allah knows. So immediately Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam followed up that question by said, then وَمَا عَلَامَتُهَا, what are the signs of Qiyamah? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam explained, أَن تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا وَأَن تَرَى الْحُفَاةَ الْعُرَاةَ. Until the end of that particular hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam went on to describe the different signs of Qiyamah. Now, for the purposes of this particular discussion, I want to discuss signs of Qiyamah that are particularly relevant to women. As I said, there are many signs. There are many which are considered, so to speak, the minor signs of Qiyamah. The fact that children will disrespect their parents. The fact that interest will become common. The fact that people will abandon their salah and not be a regular with salah. These are amongst the many minor signs of Qiyamah. And then the very major signs of Qiyamah, the beast appearing near the Kaaba, coming from between Mount Safa and Marwa, the sun rising in the west rather than rising in the east, etc., etc., the appearance of Dajjal, all of these things will be the major signs of Qiyamah, indicating that Qiyamah is very close. But there are signs from which we can take lesson that are particularly relevant to women. And that is what I want to discuss, and that is what I want to touch on this morning. The first sign of Qiyamah, which is particularly relevant to women, is that it will be hard to tell men and women apart. When the time comes, when it will be very hard to tell a woman and a man apart, in terms of their dress, in terms of their conduct, in terms of their approach, in terms of their mannerism, in terms of their lifestyle, the lifestyle, mannerism, approach, conduct, and attitude of a man and woman would be so similar. When that time comes, then know that Qiyamah is close. And if we analyze our lifestyles today, then we can say to a large extent that that time has come when women are vying with men and men are vying with women. And as a result, there is great lesson and there is great warning for us. The first aspect under this particular sign of Qiyamah that I want to touch on is the aspect of Qawama, or Qiwama, as they would say in the Arabic language. In the Quran Kareem, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, Ar-Rijalu Qawwamuna ala Nisa, that men have been made the guardians over women. Bima faddala Allahu ba'dahum ala ba'd. This is a privilege which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grants to whomsoever He wills. وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And it is also because men have been given greater responsibility. So as a result of their greater responsibility, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given them this responsibility of being the guardians over women. Now today we live in an age where they talk about gender equality. And they say, no, a woman must be considered equal to a man. Islam does not say that a woman is not equal to a man. Islam does not say that a woman is substandard. Islam does not say that a woman is not as valuable. Islam says that Allah has created men and women equally, but not identical. In a verse of the Quran, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Whoever does good deeds, whether they are male or female, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will grant them the reward. So Islam does not say if a man reads 2 rakats of salah, he will get more reward than a woman. Islam does not say a man who gives zakah will get more reward than a woman who gives zakah. Islam does not say a man who has taqwa will get more reward than a woman who has taqwa. No, in the greater scheme of things, in terms of basic rights, being treated with dignity, being treated fairly, being treated as a human, being treated as the best of Allah's creation, men and women are equal. In terms of the hereafter, in terms of spirituality, men and women are equal. If a woman is more compliant to the teachings of deen, if she is more obedient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, she will surpass the man in Jannah. She will have a higher rank in Jannah. Yes, in terms of the administrative functioning of this dunya, you have to have some who are in the position of leadership. Like every citizen of South Africa is equal, but at the same time, and every citizen is not equal to the president. In terms of basic rights, in terms of rights as a citizen, in terms of access to basic necessities, everybody is equal. But in terms of rank, in terms of the administrative affairs of the state, the president has a higher rank than the vice president. The vice president has a higher rank than the cabinet ministers. Those in government have a higher rank than ordinary citizens. There has to be that functioning, that system has to function. And for the system to function, different people have to occupy different positions. And in that regard, from that particular perspective, Islam says, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً, that men have one degree of superiority over women, meaning that they have been given this responsibility of guardianship. But with that responsibility comes many more responsibilities. They then have to bear the financial burden. They have to bear the burden for many things. So Islam says, appreciate your uniqueness. Don't make it the object of your life to vie with a man. I always say, with regards to this debate of gender equality, that the greatest insult to a woman is to judge her by the standards of man. The more she can become like a man, the more they say she's liberated. The more she can occupy the positions that men occupy, the more they say she's progressive. But in reality, a woman must be judged by her own standards, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created her unique. Allah says the relationship between man and woman is supposed to be complementary, not competitive. They ought to be assisting one another. There are certain things which a man can do better. There are other things which a woman can do better. A woman should stick to that for which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created her and given her natural talents. A man should stick to that from which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created him and given him natural talents. Now, one of the big problems in the dunya today is that in this whole quest for gender equality, women are being forced to leave their natural roles, to give up their uniqueness and their own independent identities, and to try and emulate men in every aspect. And the more you emulate a man, the more you are applauded, and the more you are considered to be a liberated woman, to be a modern woman, to be a progressive woman. And the reason I'm talking about all of this is because many of our women folk, and when I say our women folk, I'm talking about Muslim mothers and sisters, they may not outwardly succumb to this whole gender absurdity syndrome, as I would prefer to call it, but mentally and ideologically, they have succumbed. We have become so exposed to television, so exposed to Western media, that deep down a woman actually, she may be a housewife, rearing her children, bringing up her children, looking after the affairs of the home, a home executive, but deep down she wishes, hey, if only I had that career, if only I could be the Julia Gillard, you know, the Prime Minister of my country, if only I could be traveling the world, if only I could be sitting in board meetings, if only I could be at conference centers. So there's an intellectual complex where you have that which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created you for, which comes natural to you, yet you desirous of something else. You're hankering after something else. Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Alayhi used to give such a beautiful example. He says, that woman who prefers to stay at home and look after the children that she has given birth to, children that she loves, take care of the needs of the husband that she is married to, a man that she loves, run the affairs of her own home, that woman is looked upon as someone who is backward, someone who is orthodox. But take another woman who becomes an air hostess. She walks up and down a very narrow aisle of an aeroplane, day in and day out. Tea, coffee, will you have chicken or beef, sir? That woman is serving tea and coffee to strangers she doesn't know, she doesn't love, who don't appreciate her, who don't value her, yet that woman is deemed to be a progressive woman. That woman is deemed to be a modern woman. But a woman who does the exact same thing, who stays at home and would serve tea and coffee to her husband and to her children whom she loves and who love her, and that woman is deemed to be a backward woman and an outdated woman. So the plea to our mothers and sisters is, don't fall into this trap. Don't start to think that the grass is greener on the other side. These so-called liberated women, what they are subject to in the workplace, the sexism that they have to tolerate, the advances of immoral man, the temptations to which they have to be exposed to on a regular basis, it's not all glitz and glory. Many of them, when they have come back to the confines of their home, which is the ideal environment, they have appreciated it. And similarly, we need to treat our daughters, and we need to teach our daughters, and we need to rear our daughters accordingly. We need to make sure that they are proud Muslimas. They are proud of their identity. They are not suffering from a complex that why can men do this and we can't do that. We, at the end of the day, what does Islam mean? Islam means that you submit to the authority of Allah. And when you say that I'm a Muslim, that I submit to the authority of Allah, it means that I don't need to know the answer to everything, and I don't need to know the wisdom of everything. Sufficient for me to know is this, that if my Allah has commanded something, then definitely my goodness lies in fulfilling that command of my Allah. And if my Allah has commanded something, irrespective of what the world has to say or modern trends dictate, then my goodness lies in fulfilling the instruction of my Allah. Today we see girls want to play the sports that boys play. They want to dress the way that boys dress, the jeans and the tops. They want to do exactly what boys do. They want to pursue careers, even though there's no financial necessity that is compelling them. That's why in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned, trade will become so widespread that a woman will be forced to help her husband in business. Because we will become so materialistic that a man's salary, which is supposed to be enough, won't be enough. And now his wife will have to join him in the business. And the two of them are focused on earning the income. No one is paying attention to the children. The mother that is supposed to be the first madrasa, an ummu madrasatun, that mother is not there. The mother that's supposed to be the primary caregiver, the nurturer, the one who's supposed to ensure that the children grow up with the right character and the correct qualities, that mother is absent. And as a result, those children become the delinquents of society. Those children then fall prey to all the temptations and the evils of the day. And this is something which Islam has warned about a very long time ago. And nowadays, even non-Muslims, very modern and so-called progressive non-Muslims, like presidents of the United States. Bill Clinton acknowledged towards the latter part of his term as president that the biggest mistake American society had made was to take the woman away from the environment of the home. They pushed all of their women folk into the corporate space, and that home no longer became the fort which ensured that the next generation of children grew up to be decent human beings, expected to be good Muslims. So this first sign of Qiyamah is when that women will start to feel a complex. You'll be wearing a hijab, but you'll think, well, why must I wear a hijab and a man doesn't have to? You'll be wearing a cloak and you'll say, you know, but it's so hot, why must I wear so much clothing and a man has got so much liberty? You don't understand your uniqueness, you don't understand your beauty. And that is as a result of us not having understood our deen. We feel, no, I must send my daughter to university, she must have a career. What if one day her husband dies? Or what if one day her husband divorces her? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنَّ ظَنِّ عَبْدِ بِي. I treat you as per your expectations of me. If you're so negative from the onset, Allah forbid, something will go wrong. Nobody's saying that women can't have education. Nobody's saying that women can't contribute to society from within the confines of their home. Of course they can. Look at how Aisha radiallahu anha contributed from within the confines of her home. There were many hafidhas, there were many alimas, there were many female muftis as well that used to contribute to the field of knowledge in a large way, but without flaunting and breaking any of the rules and any of the laws of Sharia. So you say that, no, I need to expose my daughter to that university environment just in case one day her husband dies or her husband divorces her, so she has a career of her own. But then she picks up qualities that proves to be a problem in her marriage from the onset because of the environment that she was involved in. And that complicates her life more so than her life would have been complicated if she did not have that degree and her husband had to pass away or her husband had to divorce her. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect one and all. So that's the first. That it will be a sign of Qiyamah when it will be hard to differentiate between men and women. The second sign of Qiyamah is that a tribulation will enter everyone's home. Everyone's home will have some ruction, some family politics. That's a sign of Qiyamah. And here again, women are very instrumental in these things, simply because they spend more of the time at home and they have more access to the telecom barakati line. And as a result, there's more gossiping, more slandering, more speculation. And here, you need to ask yourself the question, my mother, my sister, that what role am I playing? Am I fueling the tension or am I trying to assist in reducing the tension? There's always problems in every family. It might be a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law tiff. It may be tension between sisters, it may be tensions between sister-in-laws, it may be tension between husband and wife, it may be tension between brothers or brothers-in-law, it may be tension in the broader family. Now, what am I doing? What role am I playing? Am I the cause that this tension came in? Do I narrate every story? Do I tell my husband every minute detail, knowing he'll get angry and he'll lash out? And then when he lashes out, then the relationship between him and that person becomes strained. Do I complain about every particular issue that results in family relationships and that results in close family relationships coming under strain? Or do I stand for justice? Do I stand for truth? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. Even if you don't like somebody, there is no excuse for you not to be just. And who was Nabi Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala addressing? He was addressing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he was addressing him with regards to whom? The people of Makkah, who for 13 years put Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through so much difficulty, so much hardship. They killed Sahaba and Sahabiyat. For 3 years, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to see his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha cry out because of the pangs of hunger when they were boycotted. Yet after all of that, there was so much baggage. There was so much revenge that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have taken. Yet Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, even though you have justified grounds to be angry with them, to be upset with them, keep your emotions in check. You must be under every circumstances, you must be just. Don't let matters go out of control. Today, maybe because the one son is the one who gives you more money, you become unjust towards the others. Because your one daughter might be in the wrong, but because you have some financial obligation towards her, or you feel indebted to her because of her many favors and her many financial contributions, now you don't remain just. You're not prepared to speak the just word. You're not prepared to tell her that she's wrong. When she is wrong, then that obviously fuels the family tension. Your mother-in-law may have ill-treated you for many a year on end, but on a particular matter she's right. But now you don't say she's right. You want to project it as if she's wrong, simply because of the history that the two of you have. And you complicate the issue more. And it results in more tension within the home, and more tension within the family. Obviously for that we will have to account on the day of Qiyamah. And we mustn't judge the next person when we hear these kind of discussions. We must judge ourselves. That what role am I playing? Am I a person who's fueling tension? That's number one, and that's the worst. The best is obviously to be a person who's trying to reduce tension. And in between, where you're a fence sitter, you're not fueling the tension, but at the same time, you are in a position to reduce the tension, but you simply refuse to play a part and to try and reduce the family tension, notwithstanding the fact that you know how important family ties are. So that's the second sign of Qiyamah, is that family politics will enter every home. Now, whilst that may be a reality, we need to introspect and say, what role am I playing? It must not be that I'm making matters worse, or it must not be because of me the problem started in the first place. The third sign of Qiyamah, which is very relevant to women, is that music, female singers, and alcohol will become common. Now, we may feel that, you know what, this is something that women are not so involved in. But you'd be alarmed to know that when you speak to those who are running drug rehabilitation centers, they will tell you that nowadays they have more females in drug rehabilitation centers than they have men. There are more Muslim females who are consuming alcohol than there are Muslim men. There are more Muslim females who are totally obsessed with music stars, with sports stars, with Hollywood stars, with Bollywood stars, that this sign of Qiyamah is glaring us in the face. There are more women who are violating the laws of hijab via the cell phone, via the internet, via BBM, via interaction with people that they are not supposed to be interacting with, having illicit relations, even to the point of married women. That the number of stories that are coming to the ulama in terms of mediation and arbitration, that so many, previously it was taken for granted that it was more the man that was likely to stray than the woman who was likely to stray. Unfortunately today, the roles have been reversed. That moral fiber that used to hold the society together, that moral fiber has been eaten into. And as a result, society has become very, very vulnerable. And we're talking here about Muslim societies. We're talking about communities where in the absence of the husband, the wives are frequenting the homes of other men and involving themselves in illicit relations. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us that this is a sign of Qiyamah. Do not get involved in zina, either the major forms or the minor forms. Do not get involved in the listening of music, in becoming fanatical about those who are in the music industry, or in the movie industry, or in the sports industry, and protect yourself against intoxicants. Sometimes you think it will never happen to me. I don't come from a home where drugs has been abused. Today, unfortunately, because we were so indifferent to this, and because everyone thought it will never happen to my children, it will never happen to my family, today there is hardly a family where you do not find a person who is addicted to drugs. You know, previously we could say that, alhamdulillah, there is hardly a family except that you will find a hafid there. And that was a big positive for the Muslim community of South Africa. While that positive remains, there are many negatives that have crept in as well. Today there is hardly a family except that you would find one drug addict there. Then the fourth sign of Qiyamah, which is relevant to women, is na shukri, being ungrateful. It is mentioned in one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that many women will enter Jahannam because they were ungrateful to their husbands. Now men have their weaknesses, women have their weaknesses, and here we are addressing the weaknesses of women. Many times the husband does a lot, you know, like somebody would say in a light-hearted way, that a woman would take her hand and then take her index finger and point it in the face of her husband and says, your whole life you did nothing for me. But on that very hand, she has the bangles which the husband bought. That very hand is covered by the sleeve of the garment which her husband bought. On that very finger is the ring which her husband bought. On that very neck is the chain which her husband bought. That very roof is the roof of a house which her husband has provided. So he has provided so much. No doubt she has also contributed. But gratefulness is something which is integral. And many times women suffer from this syndrome where they don't look at the 90% that they are receiving. They look at the 10% that they are not receiving. And accordingly, they moan, groan, complain. And you know, there's no end to the gossip. There's no end to the complaining and to the moaning. Well, either it be with your mother or with your sister, for hours on end, going on about how he doesn't do this and his mother is like that and his sister is so lazy and he doesn't want to take me there and he doesn't want to buy this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us against that. Yes, at times you may feel a bit despondent that my husband may not be taking me for holiday, but my sister is going for holiday, or I don't have a very expensive cloak for Eid. But look at the broader picture. Look at those people who don't have food for iftar. Look at those people who only have one set of clothing. Look at those people who don't have shelter. Look at those people who are totally exposed to the cold, to the bitter cold in the winter months, and then appreciate what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has granted. Then the next sign of Qiyamah is that secrets will be divulged. And this is again of particular relevance to our brothers and sisters. As I said, men have their weaknesses, women have certain weaknesses which are more relevant to them. And this is one of them. They say if you want something to spread, then mention it to a woman and tell her it's secret. She'll phone her sister and tell her sister, you know what, this is very confidential, it's secret, don't tell nobody. Then her sister will phone her mother and say, this is very secret, confidential, don't tell nobody. Then the mother will tell the daughter-in-law. And before long, the person who was the one who confided in you would think to themselves, I might as well have told the muadhin to announce it when he was making adhan. The whole community is talking about my affairs. Many times pious women, who are not only performing their five daily salah, but they are performing tahajjud. They are making khatam upon khatam. But when they get onto that phone, or when they get onto that BlackBerry, then it's gossiping and slandering and talking about other people and divulging secrets and divulging information that they're not supposed to be divulging. This is a sign of Qiyamah. And again, let's not listen to this point and then judge the next person. Yeah, this description fits that woman. Let's judge ourselves according to that. Then the last point that I want to discuss is that close to Qiyamah, one of the signs of Qiyamah is that women will be naked despite being dressed. They will be naked despite being dressed. And here what is meant is that you will have clothing, but your clothing will be such that either it will be see-through, or it will be very revealing, or your clothing will be so attractive that the whole point of you wearing clothing is that people must not get to see your figure and they must not get to see your body, but you wear such alluring and such attractive clothing that it actually draws everybody's attention to you. Last night I was mentioning in the masjid, and I was doing the tafsir after Taraweeh, and I said to the menfolk that you have a responsibility as far as your family is concerned. You are the guardian. The day of Eid is not far off. It is permissible to wear clothing which is presentable, which is good, which makes you look nice. Inna Allah ta'ala jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful, He loves that you be beautiful. But the real irony is this, that when your own husband comes home, you won't bother to wear something beautiful or nice. You'll be smelling of the onions and chickens. But when you go to a function, you want to doll up and dress up to such an extent that if it's a wedding, you want to outshine the bride. If it's an Eid function, then I must be the sister-in-law, or I must be the daughter-in-law is the best dressed. And then all of the frivolity starts. Oh, where did you get your dress from? Then I bought it locally. Then the other two gossip, yeah, she's lying. She'll never tell us where she gets the material from. She'll never tell us where she got the design from. You know that woman? She goes to the shop, she takes the clothes on Apro, and then she steals the design and returns the clothes. So, because of clothing and competition in clothing and excessiveness and extravagance in clothing, we are actually wiping off a lot of the good deeds and a lot of the reward which we have accrued in Ramadan via these sins on the day of Qiyamah. You allow for your daughter to wear a garment where her hair is exposed, where parts of her body which have to be covered compulsorily exposed, and you think Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not going to hold you accountable for that. You wear clothing which is revealing of your figure, or which is so attractive that wherever you walk it's going to attract the gaze of people and the attention of people towards you. That is haram, and that is a sign of qiyamah. And we need to be very careful in that regard. Even if you wear clothing, that does not make your, it does not reveal your body in any way. But if you're wearing the clothing out of pride, that you know what, I must stand out. People must compliment my garb. People must compliment my dress. And that is also a sin. If we look at how much money is spent on clothing for Eid, and then clothing for functions. There's a function in the family, that I must have a separate cloak for the Mehndi night. I must have a separate cloak for the 2-3 nights that we will be eating at the wedding house. Then I must have a separate dress and a separate garb for the wedding, and another one for the Valima. All of that money is spent, and yet we have an ummah that is starving. We have a community here in South Africa that doesn't have shelter. Allah says, spend, be presentable, be neat. But the insincerity of our dressing is shown by the fact that a woman is supposed to be at her most beautiful when she's with her husband in privacy, in her own home. Now in your own home, you'll wear that same old cloak that's tattered and torn. I can understand, obviously, when you're working in the kitchen, etc., you're not going to wear your best clothing. But in your home, you don't take much care of your appearance. But as soon as you have to hit a trip to the shopping mall, or as soon as there's a particular function, then thousands of rands are wasted. Even if the credit card goes in interest, even if the husband has to take a loan, rather the husband must work and compromise his health in the process and compromise his deen in the process by doing business which is not legitimate and permissible, but he needs to feed that desire of his wife and the desire of his daughters, because they want to be up to date with the latest fashion and the latest garb. Today we hear even of people who will specifically undertake overseas trips so that they can go and do shopping. If you wear something which is branded, if you buy a jacket that's a well-branded jacket, but your intention is that because it's a famous brand, it's of good quality, I'll pay a little more, but it'll last me much longer, it'll keep me warm, that's fine. Islam doesn't say you can't wear a good quality jacket. But if you wear that, if you buy that shoe, not because it's a good shoe and it'll last me longer, because it's a particular brand, and people will say, wow, you know, I got this Gucci handbag, I got this Prada handbag, so it will stand out, and I'll make sure that the logo can be seen and the design can be seen, so everybody must know it's genuine. Everybody must know my husband loves me enough to buy this. And in conclusion, there's another sign of Qiyamah, which is particularly relevant to women, and that is that they will wear their hair high like humps of camels. We unfortunately see this has become a trend in the Middle East, where the hump, the bun of the hair is not put towards the back of the head, but it's put towards the center of the head. And it goes high up like the hump of a camel. And the whole purpose here is that the woman wants to draw attention to herself. And unfortunately, we have started to notice that many women folk here in South Africa as well have started to adopt this particular mode of keeping the hair, which is in total conflict and total contradiction to the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are few signs of Qiyamah which we have discussed, which are particularly relevant to women and females. And again, my plea is, let us not use this to judge others. Let us use this to judge ourselves and see how, to what extent are we compliant and to what extent are we guilty. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa al-aqibatu li muttaqeen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان عليك البلاغ سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله. آمين.
Hi,
sir. How's your father?
Nice, sir.